Now we spend the majority of our time in childhood around our immediate family, our parents, and our siblings, if any. Those relationships have a big influence on our development as we transition from childhood to teen years into our adult lives. A growing field of studies exploring the exact role that sibling relationships or being an only child can have on our personalities, our resilience, and our social dynamics. Our next guest is working on that research to help better understand how our families bond and how our bonds can make us who we are. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Whether you were an only child or came from a big crew, how do you think that affected your childhood? How did your siblings or lack of siblings shape the person you are today? Tell us your best sibling story at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Anna Lindell is an assistant professor of psychology at UW-Whitewater, where she researches child development and the role that parent and sibling relationships play in healthy development. Anna, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much, Rob. It's great to be here today.
All right. We have a lot of close relationships potentially in our lives. What is unique about a sibling relationship from your perspective as a psychologist?
Yeah, well, compared to all of the relationships that we have in our lifetime, siblings are, if we have siblings, they can be one of the longest lasting relationships that we have. There's a quote that I love that says that, well, our friends come and go, our parents eventually leave us, but our siblings are often the ones that we spend the majority of our lifespan with. And they're also kind of this quintessential love-hate relationship. So there are some very unique dynamics that we really don't see in any other close relationship that we have.
What are some of the big things you look for when it comes to how sibling relationships change over time, you know, from childhood through teen years and into adulthood?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the things that really influence the way that sibling relationships change is we have to think about how people change as they move through childhood and adolescence and into adulthood. And we have different kind of developmental tasks that we're all working on during those times. And our siblings kind of follow along with us. And so if we're thinking about really young children who have a sibling, obviously those two young children, they might spend a lot of time together, be very companionate with each other. But then as we start to get older, we start to maybe move away from our siblings a little bit and focus more on other relationships. So it can be pretty interesting to see the ways that those dynamics shift.
One assumption that I think was around for a long time, and if I understand correctly, research doesn't bear it out, is that there's something about only children, that not having siblings leads to certain personality traits, personality types, often over time viewed with suspicion. Is there anything at all to that, Anna?
Not in my current research. I would say that siblings, the way that we think about these relationships, they serve as an important support role for people. And if children are only children, they will ideally find that support in other relationships that they have. They might spend more time learning from their parents or from their peers, but if you have siblings, that can be a really rich source of socialization and support.
We are talking about siblings, our relationships with them, what they mean for our development as people. Anna Lindell is with us, assistant professor of psychology at UW-Whitewater. She researches this, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have siblings, how has your relationship with them changed at different parts of your lives? Have they been an important part of your life? Join in at 800-642-1234. If you're an only child, do you wish you'd had siblings, as people might expect you to, or did you not see what the big deal was all about? 800-642-1234 is the number. Getting into how sibling relationships work, Anna, what are some of the characteristics of a strong, healthy sibling relationship?
Yeah, well, one of the unique things about sibling relationships is they are such a stable relationship that they can really withstand a lot and still end up okay in the end. So what we often look for in healthy sibling relationships, when children are younger, when they're in adolescence, we're looking for a lot of positive qualities. So are siblings spending a lot of time together, but is that time meaningful? Is there this expectation that that sibling will be there for them no matter what? Is there affection in that relationship? Is there nurturance in that relationship? Do siblings feel like they can trust and support one another? And even if siblings do have conflict, that's Very typical. And it really just kind of shows how close those siblings are, because if we kind of think about the kinds of conflicts that children and adolescents have with their siblings, we're typically talking about squabbles that would come up just by virtue of being under the same roof. So that's not necessarily indicative of a poor sibling relationship. It's very expected and also provides a lot of training ground for how to resolve conflicts effectively.
When might a parent or someone look at a sibling relationship, maybe of their kids, and say, wait, this is above and beyond. This is not normal squabbles. This is actually something negative that we got to worry about.
Yeah, I think it comes down to looking at the balance between how frequently are those conflicts occurring, how intense are the conflicts. So if conflicts are very frequent, but also especially intense, without a whole lot of those other positive qualities going on, that could be a time where we might take a look at if there's something we can do to help maybe strengthen those relationships and maybe shift some of those relational qualities around a little bit. But frequent conflicts are not particularly problematic. We know that during late parts of middle childhood, early adolescence, siblings are going to fight. They're trying to assert their autonomy. They're trying to get their equal share. And so having frequent conflicts on their own, not particularly problematic in the long run.
For siblings who have had a difficult, maybe more than usual, squabbling type of relationships as kids, what kind of things they can they do as grown-ups when they've got some distance from that to reconnect and maybe confront and overcome those negative years?
Yeah, and there's actually been some research that we've done that's kind of looked at some of these changes after siblings do move apart from one another. So even if siblings maybe had pretty frequent conflicts when they were under one roof together during adolescence, we often find that having just some physical separation from their sibling can often be kind of a catalyst for restarting some of those relationships. And sometimes what we find is if siblings had a very negative relationship when they were living together, sometimes that might mean that those siblings do drift apart a little bit after they do separate, but sometimes it can also create a new opportunity to kind of rekindle that relationship, start to recognize what they value in that relationship once they've had a little bit of time to take a step back.
One thing I wonder about, my brother and I are about 5 years apart, and we were in different worlds as kids. We get along really well now. My daughters are twins, so they're minutes apart. Does the difference in age have a big bearing on how sibling relationships work?
Absolutely. So we absolutely find that siblings who are closer in age, they have a lot more overlap in shared activities that they enjoy. They're more likely to maybe share friend groups, share similar interests. They might attend the same schools even. And so we often find that those siblings tend to have closer relationships, also maybe more conflictive relationships. Whereas if we have siblings who are farther apart in age, we're often going to see maybe more of kind of like a junior parent type of relationship, at least when they're younger, because there is such a difference in maturity level and life experiences. And then those differences don't seem to make quite as much of a difference once we reach adulthood.
We're talking to UW-Whitewater psychology professor Anna Lindell about the way our siblings could shape our childhood and development and how those relationships change over the years. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have siblings? How have you stayed in touch over the years? Are you close friends, whether you are right next door to each other these days or live in different parts of the country or the world? Did having siblings make life easier or more difficult for you growing up? If you're an only child, same question. Did you think that was easier, harder, or it's just what it was? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Anna Lindell. She's a psychology professor at UW-Whitewater. She's with us today to talk about siblings and how having siblings or not having them can influence our development from being kids through our adult lives and the relationships that we have with them through the years. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to give a shout out to the brother or sister in your life, how your relationship has changed over time, how you stay in touch, maybe even if you've moved apart geographically? Let us know. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Jack is with us in Madison. Jack, hello.
Hey, Rob. Hey. So this is a little more about, I guess, uncles and less my siblings, but I heard your guest talking about, I think it was twins or siblings who are closer in age earlier, and it reminded me of my Irish twin uncles who, you know, looked almost identical. They were short, blonde, blue boys, and they were really close together. They don't look that way anymore, believe me, but those guys were always doing stuff together. And I think until my older uncle was going into first grade and my younger uncle into kindergarten, my younger uncle thought that they were in fact twins until my older uncle's first grade teacher came up to him and said, "Sorry, Paul, you and Tom are not twins," Paul being the younger of the two uncles. And so that always struck me.
That's a great family story, Jack. Thanks a lot for that at 800-642-1234. Very close in an earlier generation, Anna. Have we seen changes in the closeness of our sibling relationships over the generations?
You know, that's an interesting question. And that's one that I think we'd have to think more about in terms of what part in the lifespan we're talking about. So I think if we're thinking about maybe older adolescents, now we see a lot more reliance on peer relationships and friendships and spending a lot of time outside of the home context in among today's adolescents. And so I think we might see maybe siblings perhaps spending less time together among today's adolescents. We certainly see changes in how likely it is that siblings will see each other frequently once they reach adulthood, as we kind of have people spreading out geographically more than in the past. But it's an interesting question historically to think about how these have changed over time. Yeah.
Jack, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. As we talk about siblings, hoping you can answer some of the questions that our guest, Anna Lindell from UW-Whitewater, just brought up. Do you feel like it's easy to stay in touch with your siblings? Is it something you want to do? Do you get a lot of joy from being in contact with your siblings? Does it seem like we do less of that over time? And hey, parents out there, if you have stories of your kids and how they get along as siblings, let us know. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Anna, what kind of things are you focusing your research on right now when it comes to sibling relationships?
Yeah, well, for a long time, we really didn't have much of a sense of how siblings maintain their relationships once they're no longer living under the same roof. And so what my current research is trying to do is trying to figure out, well, how do siblings best stay in touch with one another? And what benefits can siblings have once they may no longer be spending as much time together? So I'm really particularly interested in how college-aged siblings maintain their relationships and how sometimes we forget that siblings can be a really important resource for students who have siblings, particularly if we're thinking about first-generation college students who may not have parents or many other family members who've gone through the college experience before. Siblings might be a particularly valuable source of information, source of support that might help mitigate some of the challenges that first-gen students often have.
Let's go back to our callers now. John is with us in Rhinelander. John, hi.
Hi. I'm hearing a lot of sunshine going on about siblings. I grew up in a family that was rife with alcoholism, violence, and sexual abuse, which you would think would draw siblings close together. I have four siblings. None of us have spoken to each other in probably 10 or 15 years. Two or three of us actually actively detest each other. I am kind of sad that that's how it ended up, but just another direction.
John, thank you so much for being willing to share that with us. And I'm sorry things went that way. John brings up something I was hoping to get to, Anna. Things don't always work well. There are families that are very dysfunctional and have bad things going on. What do you look for in those kinds of sibling relationships?
Yeah, and in situations like that, we often find that when families are experiencing significant levels of stress, especially chronic stress, we can find sibling relationships can kind of go one of two different ways. So there's been a good amount of research looking at divorce as one context, that has found that sometimes siblings, in light of that major life stressor, sometimes it pulls siblings closer together, but in many cases, it does lead siblings to kind of separate from one another. And that's a lot of that has to do with the particular circumstances surrounding the events in the family, but a lot of it also has to do with how close the siblings were kind of in the first place. So sometimes, if siblings were very close, they might lean on each other. In other cases, they may not see their siblings as a particularly valuable source of support. And so we can absolutely see some of those types of events leading to separation from siblings, more feelings of indifference towards siblings, feelings of antagonism and dislike of siblings. So we can absolutely see it going either direction. Yes.
Thanks a lot for that call. Talking to Anna Lindell, assistant professor of psychology at UW-Whitewater. She researches, among other things, sibling relationships, what they mean for us as we develop from kids into adults. Back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Madison. Jim, hi.
Morning, afternoon. How are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about Jim?
Well, all I want to tell you is I come from a large family. There was nine of us. We're nine within 14 years, but we're all in our 60s and 70s now. We're all different. Yet we're very close. You know, it could be if somebody from the old neighborhood died or passed away or moved someplace, I could go be away from my phone for an hour and come back, and it's like a pack of firecrackers going off in my pocket because there's so many texts going back and forth.
And Jim, do you live, do the nine of you live all over the country now, or are you mostly here in Wisconsin? How does that affect things?
Mostly in the Midwest. You know, if there's a gathering, we probably get together, I don't know, three to five, six times a year. And if there's a gathering, it's, you know, there's probably seven of us that show up anyway.
Interesting. Jim, thanks a lot for sharing that. Glad you're still in touch with everybody. A big group of siblings there, Anna.
Yeah, and I love that sibling context that the caller described, because what we often find is, especially once people kind of get into past the early part of adulthood, we often find siblings rekindling those relationships again, and they can be a great source of support and companionship. And it's almost like they pick up right where they left off, despite all of the busyness that we often get in earlier parts of adulthood. We absolutely find siblings maintaining those close relationships. And today, it's even easier than ever to keep those ties close with all the forms of technology that we have. It's really exciting.
Jim, thanks for that call. Susie is with us now in New Berlin. Susie, hi.
Hi. My parents considered it extremely important for us to get along, the four of us kids. I'm number three out of the four within 5 years, and we're in that time zone where everybody just had a pile of kids all at once. Anyway, we passed that on to our children. I had two little kids. When they were little, if they argued with each other, and they got along real well most of the time, but if they got into an argument and I had enough of it, then I would say, "All right, you two, hold hands, look at each other in the eye, and you have to say two things about each other that you really like, but it can't have anything to do with how they look." And so they'd have to stand there until they could actually say the two things, and it was always so cute. But they only got to do it a couple of times because after they realized that I was serious about this and I was going to keep doing it, they started arguing. I'd come in the room, they'd go, "Oh, wait, don't argue because mama's here. She's going to make us do that again." And so they didn't have to do it very often, but they're 39 and 36 and a half, and still very, very dear friends, even though one lives in Tulsa and the other one lives in Washington State.
Susie, thanks a lot for sharing that. Anna, whether it's Susie's example or something else, are there things that parents can do to help cultivate happy relationships among their kids?
Yeah, and especially thinking about how parents can kind of foster those positive sibling relationships, we absolutely find that parents should celebrate and acknowledge their children's differences among one another. Some of the callers have mentioned how they're very different, but also very similar. And I think that parents really should work very hard not to compare their children with one another, and really kind of acknowledge what makes each of their children unique, because then that'll reduce the possibility of sibling rivalry. Siblings will feel less like their parents are treating them unfairly compared to their sibling. And I think doing whatever parents can do to encourage those positive relationships, spending time with each other as a family, but also giving them their own space and autonomy as well.
And thanks for that call. And just in our last minute, Anna, she mentioned she was the, I think, third of four. Another popular psychology thing, birth order matters. If you're the first kid or the seventh kid or whatever, it affects your personality. Just like some of the only childhood stuff, does research bear that out?
Not so much. Sometimes we might find that firstborn being a little bit more independent. But I think a big difference is the way that parents treat their children. So sometimes parents treat the first child as a first draft, and then they think about their younger children, and they learn from their experiences with their older ones. So there might be a little bit of truth to it, but not as much as we might think.
Anna, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
That's Anna Lindell, assistant professor of psychology at UW-Whitewater, where she researches child development and the role that parent and sibling relationships play in healthy development. She was with us today to talk about the role that having siblings or being an only child plays in our development over the years. Still time for you to share your own story, if you'd like, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or just give a shout out to a sibling, or you can email ideas@WPR.org.